Super Scoreboard. The Old Firm through the decades.
Some call it the greatest derby in the world. It is certainly the game that divides a country. When Celtic play Rangers, Scotland holds its breath.
It's life or death to Celtic or Rangers fans.
Would you have signed for Celtic?
No.
Would you, Peter, have signed for Rangers?
No chance. Absolutely not.
Henrik was, I call him a freak of nature. 242 goals in 315 games. That is just freakish.
For me, it's the best Rangers team of all time that we were up against, and that's the biggest compliment I can pay those guys.
When you walk in the doors, there's a special aura.
When Graham left, David Murray actually just said, "What do we need here?" And we all said straight away, "It's that man there."
Our challenge when Graham came in was to put Celtic off the top of the league.
I don't care who we lose at me. See, if you win a sign for us, you can't lose at me, Rangers. I'd have gave him the world. Signed for us.
The Old Firm is beyond anything I've experienced and ever seen and all that as well, and you don't know how it is until you actually experience it yourself.
Each family hands down the mantle of supporting their particular team, and that'll carry on forever.
Super Scoreboard. The Old Firm through the decades. 0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Qualification is dead in the water, but Celtic are underway in Milan as Neil Lennon looks to kickstart his side's revival. And they have done just that. But let me carry on before we go any further. Rangers have the chance to qualify with a game to spare when they host Standard Liège, and St Mirren and Kilmarnock have been forced to forfeit games postponed due to COVID. Gordon Dalziel is at home. Mark Wilson, it's not often the headlines get interrupted by a goal, but Celtic have taken the lead in the San Siro.
Yeah, and what a big night it is for Neil Lennon. And no one would give Celtic a chance getting into this game against a Milan team top of the league and flying and needing points tonight to progress. But Tom Rogic has given Celtic the lead within a couple of minutes. A horrendous mistake at the back from AC Milan centre half, and Rogic does what he does so well, 18 yards out, curls into the bottom corner, and what a start for Neil Lennon.
Gordon Dalziel, and shambolic piece of defending from AC Milan. Neil Lennon won't care. He needed just something to cheer the Celtic fans up a little bit. Whether even a win tonight takes the heat off him, we don't know, but certainly he wants something from tonight, whether it's a performance, a result, both perhaps.
Just what the doctor ordered there, Gordon. I was sitting just watching the game, enjoying it, and thinking Celtic look well in their shape. The 4-2-3-1, the back four he's going with tonight. AC Milan had most of the ball in the early stages, what you expect. I was listening to Neil Lennon before the game. He says, look, we're looking for a bit of respect, bit of pride, a bit of energy. They went and they pressed high up the pitch. Ball, okay, it's a bad mistake from AC Milan. Tom Rogic, still a lot to do. Superb finish. What a start. That could be a real confidence booster. They will come under pressure, but they've just got to make sure that for the next 5-10 minutes, steady things down, because the only thing I'd be critical about them early was when they were getting the ball, they were giving it back to AC Milan cheap, which was going to make it a long night. They've got that goal. That is so important.
Yeah, back-to-back three for Celtic tonight, 8 minutes in. So if you missed the starting 11, Barkas continues in goal. It's a back three of El Hamed, Beaton and Ayer. Then it's Frimpong, Rogic, Brown, McGregor and Laxalt. And then Christie, the closest to Odson Edouard.
I think looking at the shape, see when I seen the team lineups, Gordon, I did think it was a three, but it looks like they've went for a four.
And Tom Rogic almost doubles Celtic's advantage.
Wow, I mean, it certainly looks like a four with El Hamed playing right back and Frimpong one ahead of him. But what a chance again. Bad defending from Milan. Rogic edge of the box, similar position, and just puts it inches past the post. What a start from Celtic.
Right, it's been a frantic start to the show for us. That's the beauty of a 5-6 kickoff. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what are you making of tonight? Can you ever really write off a game? Does a free hit exist? What are you looking for tonight, given everything that's gone on at the club in the last couple of weeks? Rangers fans, how confident are you of getting the business done at Ibrox this evening? You can pick your team before Steven Gerrard announces it. And massive news today, St Mirren fans, Kilmarnock fans, where are you? Huge decision from the SPFL to essentially cause St Mirren and Kilmarnock to forfeit the games that they had postponed due to COVID. Massive decision, lots of people having their say on that. So what do you make of it? 01419511025. We're going to take some calls very, very soon. What about this tonight then, Mark Wilson? Is there such a thing as a free hit when you are under the level of scrutiny and criticism that Neil Lennon is under currently? If not, what are Celtic trying to achieve tonight?
I don't think there is a free hit, Gordon. I've heard the term before, and maybe it does apply to some of these games, but I think when you're in amongst a season like Neil Lennon is right now, he can't just go there and say, this is a free hit, let's just relax. I think he needs a performance that gives the Celtic fans some sign of, you know, something's happening, some sign of a reaction. Now, we're only, 12 minutes into the game, 10 minutes into the game, and it looks like we've got that. But listen, let's not forget, Celtic have been in this position before in their Europa League group stage, away to Lille, away to Sparta Prague, and they've surrendered leads. It's a positive start. He needs his players to really show that they're putting in maximum effort. I think that's a big question mark that's been levelled at the players, and in turn then goes back to the manager. People say the players aren't playing for him, and it's because of goals we've seen on Sunday, the week before and the week before, where it looks like there is a genuine lack of effort. There is a lack of desire chasing back. There is a lack of desire to help out teammates. I think the Celtic fans are looking at this tonight, and they probably admit they may get beat tonight, but they're just looking for that wee bit, a bite in their team. And they've started very well, but Neil Lennon will be hoping that they can hang on longer than they have done in the other away games in the Europa League group stage.
Gordon, similarly to you, what's tonight all about then? What can Celtic realistically achieve tonight? Or is it just about trying to find some sort of platform to build on?
Yeah, I understand what Mark's saying. I was listening to the manager. Obviously, he's looking at... He used the words pride, Gordon. He used the words getting respect back. He used the words of energies. He was talking about baby steps. The Celtic, I've got a great chance here. Oh, what an absolute brilliant chance that McGregor's just missed here. But he was talking about positive stuff. Now, I understand that when you play with a team the size of Celtic, there's not such a thing as a free hit. But tonight, if he went and, if he goes over here and he's 1-0 up and he... Even if they lose a game 2-1 or they got a draw or whatever, he has got to walk away tonight with positive, something that they can really give to the Celtic fans. And just listening to him before the game, that's what he's looking for. It's going to be difficult, but they've started brilliantly. And I've got to say, we're in again. Celtic are in again.
Celtic have taken a 2-0 lead in the San Siro. They should have doubled their advantage just a second ago. Odson Edouard and Callum McGregor both passing up great chances. But Edouard doesn't need a second invitation. This time he goes through and Donnarumma dinks the keeper. And with 13 minutes gone, AC Milan 0, Celtic 2, go figure, Mark Wilson.
I mean, is football not just the weirdest sport in the world? There was Celtic.
And it's a wonderful pass from...
Hopeless on Sunday against Ross County, beaten 2-0, and now the lead by 2 in the San Siro after 13 minutes.
And a very good goal, you have to say.
Outstanding reverse pass from Christie. Edouard, cool as you like, little dink. And what a performance so far. I mean, for guys who didn't look interested in games gone by, they have started unbelievably well. Edouard should have doubled the lead just before it. Christie looks very good. Frimpong, by the way, looks very good in this advanced right hand position with Elhamed behind him. Neil Lennon will be delighted, just what he needed.
Celtic fans, it feels weird asking this. Are you actually happy about this, or is this in a weird way just frustrating you even more, and you're asking yourself, where has this been? I'm sure you'll take it. It's what the doctor ordered, as Gordon DL said. 2-0 up inside 15 minutes at the San Siro. 01419511025. We'll keep going with that game. We'll build up to the match at Ibrox, and of course a massive story coming out of Hampden today, and that is that St Mirren and Kilmarnock, they're now left to consider their options, because they've been consigned to defeats for breaches of coronavirus protocols. So Motherwell have been awarded 3-0 victories over both clubs, so 6 points on the board for Motherwell. And St Mirren have also been handed a 3-0 defeat by Hamilton Accies. This is after the games had to be postponed due to COVID a couple of months ago. Lots of people having their say on social media. What do you make of that on the phone? 0141 951 1025. Ben is first up in Bishopton. As a St Mirren fan, Ben, does this leave a bit of a bad taste?
Oh, you're damn right it does. I'm absolutely furious. Cannot believe that they've done this to the team, the fans, the manager. COVID's not a footballing issue. If there's breaches, and I don't know the nature and detail of the breaches, but if there's breaches, fines perhaps, yes, of course. But actually, and I know we'd have to win the games, but up to 6 points, that is, for us, docked, effectively, for this. Can you imagine it happened to Rangers and Celtic in this year? Not a chance. I think they've pounced on it to make an example of us because they're small clubs. I think it's an absolute joke. I know there's been different types of breaches, but look at Celtic, look at Aberdeen now in the season. They never get docked points, effectively. There's plenty of time for these fixtures to be played. We'll have loads of free weekends once we get knocked out of the cups, as usual. So there's no chance that this is fair. I'm absolutely disgusted. I can't believe they've done it. If there's the only thing I could hope for is if reversed and appealed, because it's a total disgrace. Imagine we get relegated by those number of points. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah, and you know what? We'll delve into some of the issues that Ben mentions about the nature of the breaches and comparisons with other things, because there is a discussion to be had here, Gordon. But on the face of it, on a footballing perspective, I'm sure everyone can understand where Ben and other St Mirren fans would be coming from tonight with that type of fear, you know, that causes you to get relegated or whatever.
Yeah, it certainly, and it just showed you the other end of the scale, Gordon. It shoves Motherwell up into the top five. We're going to get the argument. Of course we're going to get the argument from St Mirren fans, from Kilmarnock fans. If this happens to Motherwell, Hamill, they're going to come out with the usual about, well, if it happened to Rangers or Celtic, that would never been allowed at points or whatever. This could cause clubs to, you know, financially, at the end of the season, be relegated, players' jobs, everything. But unfortunately, we're in a position that, how, you know, the rules are set there, and I know Mark will go off in one of his usual stories about, well, they should have been set at the beginning and everything, and he may be right with that, because we don't know, we're just making up as we're going along.
Hold on, never mind about me, what was that in the back?
No, I don't think that's him, I think that's Ben the caller.
Oh, was that?
Right, don't worry. No, he's not entertaining. He's not entertaining.
No, I'm on Moan tonight enjoying the game, but I thought you were enjoying that game.
Ben, look what you've done.
As well.
Is she angry, Ben?
My 3-year-old daughter's furious as well. Yeah, she's very angry.
Right, let's get to some of the specifics, because you did admit that as angry as you are, Ben, you're not entirely sure about the detail of some of the breaches. I'm not sure this is going to change your mind, but I wonder if it takes a bit of the sting out of what you're saying, because St Mirren did admit that they had breaches. They failed to provide suitable facilities to enable players to observe physical distancing. St Mirren also accepted that players, obviously against advice and against the rules, had been car sharing to and from training with up to four players in the same car, Ben. Now, I know that you feel hard done by, but I wonder if there is a degree of responsibility that has to be taken there. Four players in one car.
Oh, of course, but I just don't believe that the punishment is appropriate, really, for that. I mean, there's been other. I mean, Aberdeen had eight players out in a pub or something, didn't they, or something like that, breaking a similar kind of rule. They didn't get, you know, 3-0 wins against them. So where's the consistency?
Yeah, and you know what, Ben, I do genuinely understand that, because I think you'll be one of thousands that are asking that tonight from the official line, if you like. I'm not sure they are the same, because it's worth bearing in mind that Volleyball and Golly, or the Aberdeen 8, all the examples that people cite when they're looking for consistency, neither of those resulted in a match being postponed due to the inability to field a team. Celtic were more than happy to crack on and play the games. Even Aberdeen, who had eight players out, were more than happy to crack on and play the games. What's muddied the waters a little bit is that the government stepped in, gave us a slap in the wrists, and essentially nudged the SPFL, and those games had to be postponed. So I know it might seem like we're comparing like for like, but I'm not sure we actually are.
Well, you're right, you haven't changed my mind. That's all I can say.
Do you know what, Ben, I'm not even necessarily trying to, but I just wonder if that what's the phrase I'm looking for, that sort of eagerness to compare it to the Aberdeen 8, I think they are different, are they not?
Yeah, no, listen, I take that detail, I think, adds a little bit more weight to it, but I still think we're way off an appropriate punishment, yeah, being, you know, effectively point stopped in my mind.
Yeah, and that, listen, Mark, that's the bit, that regardless of what I'm saying about some of the detail, just the feeling that you're docked points to a lot of people seems extremely harsh.
Yeah, I think it is, because I think Ben touched on it, that could result, who knows down the line, in relegation or missing out in a European place or whatever. So I think that is extreme, especially when there is so much of the season still to be played. And I know the fixture card is pretty jam-packed, but you'd still think, well, the punishment should be maybe play a Monday game and a Wednesday game. We see it down in England where people moan about the schedule around about Christmas time, and that's their punishment. I mean, maybe
to be fair, that's not a punishment though, is it?
No, but paired with a fine.
Right, okay.
But to dock points, I think is harsh. Daz is right. Look, I'll always go back to this. I think before a ball was kicked, rules should have been set in place. I know your argument, Gordon, where how do we differentiate certain things. My point is, there was no rules in place. So it still seems to me that we're making this up as we're going along.
Okay, on the punishment, perhaps you're right. I'll bring in another caller and we'll delve into this in a bit more detail. Thanks to Ben in Bishopton. I'll let him get back to the babysitting. Well, it's not babysitting if it's your own child, is it? But I'll let him get back nevertheless. Derek is also a St Mirren fan from Rutherglen. Sum up your reaction to this news today, Derek.
Surprised and... sorry. Hi, guys. Hope you're all well.
Oh, don't worry. Just you crack on.
Hi. But anyway, Norm, just... I've basically just found it fairly recently, and shocked, absolutely disgusted as well. It just seems that the punishment is that's been dished out is basically outweighed the crime. I know you said there's no any real comparison between the Aberdeen 8 and Ballingolly, things like that, because they didn't result in games being postponed, but that's purely because Celtic, Aberdeen, Rangers, all the bigger teams, they have the ability and they have a bigger resource pool to dip into than St Mirren do, and also Kilmarnock and things like that. So I think that the punishment that's been given basically is
unfair.
Is a bit excessive, to say the least.
I mean, I'm thinking back to that, because lots of people are going to compare them, Mark. I kind of understand why, despite me saying that I think they're different. At the time, the league stated that both clubs, Celtic and Aberdeen, had gone to enormous lengths to ensure their players adhered to all the rules, hence why the punishment for the clubs was limited. You have to then assume that they don't agree that St Mirren and Kilmarnock have gone to those lengths because of the reasons that I mentioned. St Mirren players were car sharing, up to four of them within one car. Kilmarnock, the clubs admitted these, by the way. So whether the punishment fits the crime, fine, that's a debate. But they essentially admitted the breaches. Failure to implement necessary physical distancing on a coach to an away game and during a pre-match meal as AC Milan pull one back. It's from a free kick. Ryan Christie fouls in the edge of the box, and it's a wonderful free kick.
Unbelievable free kick. Poor foul from Ryan Christie and put in the back of the net. Celtic up against it now. 2-1 down.
These shows are difficult. Up, sorry. These shows are difficult when we're trying to get into debates about things and there's football happening, but so is life. Like I said, Mark, Kilmarnock didn't implement physical distancing on a coached and away game or during a pre-match meal. St Mirren, similar, and car sharing, up to four in a car.
That's the problem, Gordon. I think you're totally right, where Celtic and Aberdeen were seen to be doing all they could. Situations where people are car sharing, you know, close contact at pre-match meals, and the clubs admit it, then they find it hard to have a case. My personal experience of this, right at the start with Breakin', no, people are maybe bored of hearing this, but it gave me a wee insight of what's going on. At Breakin', where these COVID regulations came in, this is part time, remember, we had to be so careful a car sharing. I remember calling a meeting, I think it was in the second or third day of pre-season, where we thought it might be creeping in. Some boys were thinking that they might be able to get away with it, and we had to put down the rules and say the spotlight is on. if you get caught car sharing or a positive result comes back for one of you, that means two of you are out for so long, it can't be done. Now that's at the bottom level. You think boys that are in your top league would be extra careful, especially what's went on with Aberdeen and knowing that the spotlight is on footballers. And if the clubs are coming out and admitting it, then, you know, it's hard to have an argument.
Well, that said though, Gordon, that you can still acknowledge that and feel that the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Yeah, it's hard on both sides, Gordon. I've got to say, I can see both arguments. You know, players have got a responsibility.
AC Milan have equalised. What a game in the San Siro. 26 on the clock to the byline. A very Celtic-like goal to concede in Europe, you'd have to say, Mark. Get to the byline, yeah. Ball cut back, body's there, can't really do much about it, or don't do much about it, I should say, and it's fired into the roof of the net.
Yeah. This is 25 minutes of Celtic season in a nutshell. You know, good at spells, go and punish teams, and then so vulnerable. Once you lose one goal, I did say they were up against it because they always look like they're going to lose a second. And right away, AC Milan are right back in it. 2-2, bodies all over the place, not cleared properly, and a smart finish.
Gordon, I'll let you finish your sentence.
Yeah, as I said, I can see both sides of the arguments here. I feel sorry for Kilmarnock St Mirren, but the rules are there, Gordon, and you've got to take into consideration players have got a responsibility. If you're talking about simple things like car sharing, four in a car, come on, what is that? Try to save a tenner a week and going to petrol for the safety of your club and your players and whatever. I know that's difficult for smaller clubs. I know bigger clubs have got better facilities and they can spend more money and stuff like that. But Mark said there, you know, and to be fair to Mark, he still knows he was only, what, two league games in and gets sacked. And he still knows the right ways of going about it. You know,
I hope that's hurting you, by the way.
Oh, it certainly is. It's not hurting me as much as nobody can sell your tracksuit in the charity shop. But I do feel for clubs, Gordon, because at the end of the day, that it does cost a lot of money. Financially, this season is very difficult. It's very hard in the supporters, your team. You look at Hamilton now. Hamilton right up, there's goal difference now between them and St Mirren. St Mirren have lost 6 points. The caller's right. You don't know if St Mirren can win the 6 points. Bit disappointed. I think Motherwell will probably win 4 or 5 now. So if it comes down to goal difference, I'll be on the phone. So there's a lot there to discuss. But where do you draw the line? We're in a difficult season. We're trying to get the season finished. We've got to accept the punishment.
Right, we'll have to leave it there. We're really short on time. What a hectic start to the show. Thank you, Derek and Rutherglen. Sorry we didn't do it a bit longer. We'll speak to you soon. Celtic now being pegged back. Milan 2, Celtic 2. We'll continue with the coverage of that game and we'll take more of your calls after the travel.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here in the San Siro. It's Milan 2, Celtic 2. Celtic were 2-0 up within 13 minutes. Milan have pegged them back. It's a proper football game, Mark. You have to say it's end-to-end stuff.
Well,
Celtic
end-to-end
should
stuff.
Have been
oh,
three
my
up
goodness.
And they've almost gone behind. It goes over the bar. Celtic should have been three up and now Milan have pegged them back and it's proper end-to-end.
It's amazing. We can't finish a conversation without a chance, but they probably should be 3-2 down now. But a great last-ditch tackle there from Laxalt. And it's end-to-end. It's a proper European tie. But like I said, Celtic, you know, been in this position before, 2-0 up, looking great. They concede one goal and they look all over the place at times. Sums up Celtic season for me this first 33 minutes.
Yeah, quite incredible stuff. Right, we've got a game at Ibrox later tonight. Rangers against Standard Liège, 8 o'clock kick-off. Let's get a quick build-up there with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, a big night for Rangers because, as we know, a win puts them through to the Europa League knockout stages for the second season running. And if they manage it, they'll do it with a game to spare, which Steven Gerrard's very keen for because it will take the pressure off that game away to Lech Poznan next week. And that could prove to be a benefit on the domestic front as it gives more room for rotation. As for Standard Liège, well, they have to win tonight to stand any chance of finishing in the top two. And you just wonder whether that could suit Rangers as well. They'll have to open up and have to have a go at some point. It'll be interesting to see if Rangers can capitalise on that. Al McGregor expected to start tonight and will overtake Barry Ferguson as a Rangers player with the most European appearances for the club. This would be his 83rd. And some early team news, it should break in the next 10 minutes or so, but Ryan Jack is a major doubt for tonight but should be fit for Ross County on Sunday. Joel Rebo has trained the past couple of days and should be fine along with Brandon Barker. Philip Hellander is still self-isolating.
Rangers fans, we're building up to kick off at 8 o'clock, so get in touch. How are you feeling tonight? Are you confident? What sort of team would you pick? All the usual pre-match questions, 01419511025. Phones are red hot on a couple of topics tonight, mainly that decision from the SPFL to hand 3-0 defeats to St Mirren and Kilmarnock for matches postponed due to COVID. Let's bring in a couple more on that. Alex is a St Mirren fan on the line. Well, we've had a few angry St Mirren fans already, Alex. How are you feeling about it all?
Well, Gordon, you remember I was on about 4 weeks ago, and I was on the night, it was Andy Halliday, I think, Hugh Keevans, and I was arguing for the fact that the results, you know, that we should be handing the games to the teams affected until the investigation was done.
Yep.
I think, you know, I'm astounded that our club finds ourselves in this situation, given all the publicity that's been about in terms of the COVID, the rules, the regulations. I agree a bit with Mark that if we had something that's agreed up front and it's signed up to all the clubs, then you should expect the punishment that comes with it. But, you know, to read today and hear tonight that we've had players car sharing for a car, if that's true, I think there needs to be serious questions asked at the club as to how that can happen. And rather than take the ire out in the SPFL at the end of the season, if we go down, I think we need to look at the board and find out who's sanctioning these things, where the accountability sits within the club to make sure that the rules and regulations are adhered to. And given that we already had a couple instances at the training ground, we should never have found ourselves in a situation where it happened twice to us. And then this week as well, we get the situation where we're calling the police in over potential financial irregularities. I've got a huge concern what we're doing top to bottom just now at the club. And you know, I love them, absolutely love them, but you lose a bit of faith in it. And I think if we're trying to shout to the SPFL about a decision they've made, if we've actually breached these rules in the way that we have, we deserve everything that's coming to us.
Well, I must admit, I live to be surprised on this show, Alex. I assumed all the St Mirren fans would just be very angry at the SPFL for the decision, but you're saying you're a bit disappointed in the players or the breaches. Is it even taking that into account? Does the punishment fit the crime, though? That's the complaint from some of your fellow St Mirren fans.
Gordon, if we didn't let four players travel in a car, we wouldn't be discussing it.
Yeah, that, like, I think, Alex, accountability for that instance has to be the players. You know, there's only so much the club can put on the board, the staff, telling players, the COVID officer who's there, telling the players the rules. If the players go, yep, yeah, okay, we understand that, we'll do that for a couple of weeks, and then go, you know what, you know, we can't be bothered travelling in our own cars, let's forays jump in. That is the players' fault. I don't think there's much the board or the manager can even do about that. So that's the players.
Mark, you being a professional player and you've been a manager, are you telling me at the end of a training session that guys are getting into cars and that you're watching what's happening, or people are seeing what's happening, that there's no responsibility in somebody to come in and say, listen, wait a minute, guys, what are we doing here? The forties are getting into that car. What's happening? Do you think these players are going and sneaking away around the corner to get into a car, the four of them, that they're not getting seen?
Well, to be honest, Alex, my honest opinion of that is, look, every time I get in my car after training, there wasn't a staff member looking at the window, seeing if I was getting in the car. Players will chance their arm, and players will try to get away with anything.
Right, so it's the players then that have cost it. So again, if you know, Rangers come out and ban two players for 7 games or whatever, but there's a St Mirren fans rightly said, I think it was Graham, Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibbsat, they've got all the squad that can do that. You know, that's an easy thing to come out and do because you know you've got another 25 players to cover. But, you know, it's the culture that's set within the club. Now, if we've allowed that to happen, how are we going to stop it happening in the future then? Is it going to need to be that there's somebody from the senior management team stands and watches players getting in their car to drive up the road? Is that really what it's came to?
I must say, Gordon, I'm looking forward to hearing a bit more, hopefully, from St Mirren and Kilmarnock in the coming days, because it's only fair that they get to put their case forward a bit more. They're both considering their options at the moment, whether that's going to be, you know, a legal route or looking at ways that they can try and get this overturned. So hopefully in the coming days we can get a bit more detail about why they think that it's harsh. And I'm sure they do, because Kilmarnock did issue a statement. They're bitterly disappointed. They're in discussions with legal representatives. St Mirren again, disappointment. The club operated honestly throughout the whole process and will review its position before issuing a further response. They do have the right to appeal to the Scottish FA, so I doubt we've heard the last of it.
No, we haven't. Of course they'll appeal, Gordon. They'll put their case forward. I think we're getting carried away with the four in the car, but where I'm going with this is I totally agree with the caller. I think as a football club, you know, in training in the morning and people in about, you know who's coming in with each other. You see it in the car parks, you see people pulling up. I know Mark's saying, well, you know, when I left, no member of staff seen me going, whatever. We understand that, but in a full-time football club, you do, there's times that you turn up in the car park, you get out the car the same time as players, you know who's travelling with each other. I know we're making a big deal about this, but it is a big deal because it's obviously cost St Mirren and Kilmarnock. So I do agree that to that sort of a small thing, that you've got to stamp that right away. You've got to get on top of that.
I'm gonna act in good faith here, because you know Jim Goodwin's been on this show before, and Not necessarily just him, but looking at the environment that's been around in Scottish football, can we assume that the club didn't know that these players were travelling in that type
of
scenario?
I'm not the blame here at Jim Goodwin's door.
No, forget him personally then, right? But is it not a safer assumption that the players have chanced their arm and to see if they could, whatever, for whatever reason, and that the club didn't know about it? Because I think given the pressure that's been on clubs, if they knew about it, they probably would try and stop it.
I think about it both. I think that players, no matter what rules and regulations you put down in football, especially full-time players, and okay, you can talk about part of it, but especially full-time guys that go to their work every day, training every day, they will bend the rules. I've been a full-time player probably most of my life, and you bend the rules, of course you do. And that's what's happened, and all of a sudden, the club have been punished. Now, it'll be interesting to hear what their response is going to be to this. But the players have certainly, if the club know nothing about this, then the players have certainly let their club, their fans and everyone down, because we do know the rules. And we can argue the point about, well, the Aberdeen and the Celtic, but the games weren't cancelled. What do you do?
They were, but just in a slightly different way.
But the Celtic and Aberdeen were still prepared and still could fulfil their fixtures if they were allowed. So it's very difficult times, and everybody's making mistakes. Of course we are. We're only human beings. The league have got to make a decision. They've made that. The only thing I've got, fine, they've made that decision. Let's stick by that now. If it happens at the end of the season, and it may be a Rangers or a Celtic or whatever it may be, it's the same rules for everybody.
This is the frustration, let's be honest. This is the type of question that springs to mind in Scottish football. Would this decision have been made against Celtic or Rangers?
Yeah, that's your point, yeah.
Well, what's your answer?
my answer is probably no.
Really?
There you go.
Well, yeah. That's a problem then, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. But I think this has just been the way that our game's been for, you know, years and years and years. The big two always get the benefit of the doubt because of what Rangers and Celtic bring to Scottish football. Mm. So if you're asking me, would the league stood up there and been strong enough and brave enough the board and said, we're going to deduct the points off of Rangers and Celtic, I would say, in my personal opinion, no.
It's a bit of a pointless debate, Mark, because we'll never know. I'm sure the SPFL would say, yes, we would, or we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, or whatever. And a lot of fans listening would say, ah, that'll be right. And we'll never really know unless we get an identical set of circumstances. But
it's an interesting one. I think they would have taken a lot more time to come up with the punishment.
Well, to be fair, this one took quite a while.
Quite lengthy. But no, it's an interesting one. I don't know what would have happened there.
Nice sitting on the fence, well done. We'll get you off there, get the splinters out of you during the break. Right, we've got Stephen, who's a Hearts fan. We'll get him in just a second. Let's get team news from Ibrox, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, seven changes for Steven Gerrard from the side that beat Falkirk at the weekend. Out go McLaughlin, Bassey, Zungu, Hadji, Barker, Itten and Defoe. In come McGregor, Balogun, Davis, Kamara, Ruth, Morelos and Kent. So it'll be Alan McGregor who starts in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Glenn Kamara, with Kamara Ruth on one side, Ryan Kent on the other and Alfredo Morelos up top. The substitutes, McLaughlin, Bassey, Hadji, Itten, Zungu, Patterson, Aribo, Barker, Stewart, Barjonas, Dixon and King.
Rangers fans, what do you make of that team? Let us know right now. 01419511025. Stephen, the Hearts fan in Postle Park, is next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in Milan, where it's AC Milan 2, Celtic 2. So Celtic fans, what did you make of that first half? It was breathless stuff. It started in fantastic fashion. 2-0 lead, pegged back. What have you made of it? Rangers fans, building up to kick off at Ibrox as well. Let us know all your pre-match thoughts. Stephen in Postle Park has been hanging on for months, it would seem, to him on the line. My apologies, Stephen. What's your point tonight?
Hi, guys. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I've been listening to this. I think you're Ben, the first St Mirren fan that came on, saying that the deducting points can cost maybe relegation. Or, and as a Hearts fan, I'm sitting here thinking that, well, for months we were told just to get on with it. COVID had stopped the league, but we were told just to get on with it. So I found it ironic that it's now not fair. Do I have sympathy as a football fan that clubs are getting deducted points? Yes. Do I have sympathy as a Hearts fan now that clubs are losing points? Absolutely not. And I think that they broke the rules. The players, they're responsible for it. The club's responsible for it. And you know, as we were told, they should just get on with it, accept their punishment, which I think is fair, and move on.
Hugh Keevans has got a great phrase, Stephen, that Scottish football runs on spite, malice and mistrust, I think is his phrase. And I think maybe that's what this is all about. And by the way, that's fine. I'm not judging you for that, because I know that you guys have been through the mire over the summer. But that's it in a nutshell, Mark. I didn't expect Hearts fans to be full of sympathy for St Mirren, because that's the way we operate.
No, there won't be. And I don't think it'll be the first time. You know, it'll not be St Mirren. It'll be someone else in a couple of months' time. And Stephen will be certainly hoping that the Hearts players adhere to the rules, to the letter of the law, and nothing, you know, befalls them. Because, like I've said from the start of this, that everybody knows the rules, but they don't know the punishment for it. And that's what gets me. That's what would be getting me if I was in the St Mirren camp just now, the Kilmarnock camp. We chatted about Rangers players a couple of weeks ago, ball and goalie, Aberdeen, you know, Dundee United players. They break the rules, but what happens? And today, I'm sure St Mirren guys are sitting there scratching their head going, why? Why this harsh? You know, Kilmarnock the same. And, you know,
To be fair though, that goes back to what I said earlier about trying to liken situations that are kind of similar but not really. Take Jones and Edmondson, for example. Had they gone into Auchinhowie, had they then got too close to everyone, had the full team then had to self-isolate, and had Rangers then had to forfeit a fixture, maybe we would have reached this decision. Now I know, I get the cynical side of Scottish football where people say, ah, Rangers would never have had to do this, Celtic would never have had to do it. But Rangers haven't had matches postponed due to inability to field a team. Yeah. Neither of Celtic, neither of Aberdeen. I know they had games postponed, but under slightly different circumstances. The only two that are comparable, really, are St Mirren and Kilmarnock at the moment.
Yeah, and then somebody made the argument earlier on, that's because then it comes down to the financial aspects of the game, I suppose, because those teams carry larger squads. We said Aberdeen had eight players out and still said, look, we're able to play, we can still field a team. Different when it gets to St Mirren. Maybe Kelly's a wee bit different, but that's a different argument, I suppose. But look, I'm always going to go back to this, Gordon, and I know there will be arguments. Scottish football, Daz is laughing in the back, but Scottish football, when they decided to kick off and everybody was for it, we were for it, they should have foreseen this. They foresee plenty of other rules, and rule makers anticipate other things happening. We couldn't anticipate players getting COVID.
Well, I'm assuming that the ability to hand out 3-0 victories for clubs, I know clubs voted to get, or not voted, were advised against it in that questionnaire, but that power's obviously always been there.
Yeah, but why were we not made aware that's what was happening? Look, you break the law. Everybody knows now So if players are car sharing and the games get called off, everybody knows now they're getting done with at least a 3-0 sure. victory, but, a defeat against.
But players probably already knew that they couldn't car share before tonight.
Oh, they knew that. Listen, player, I'm not excusing the players. This is down to the players. These guys knew. They knew specifically, and I know that from breaking the bottom of the pile. The players knew it. The Premiership players certainly knew it. So I'm not excusing them.
Having said that, Stephen, I said I don't expect you to be particularly sympathetic, but should it not be a word of warning, a word of caution for all fans? Because I know you and at Hearts and St Mirren had your differences over the summer, but what's to say this doesn't happen at Hearts this season?
No, absolutely. And, you know, as Matt said, I hope that, you know, our players are abiding by the rules. And I think the point is, though, to me, it's not about breaking the rules, depending on what the punishment is. You just don't break the rules. Do you know, if I get in my car and decide not to put my seatbelt on, I don't know if I'm going to get a fine or if I'm going to get points or what's going to happen, but the fact of the matter is I put my seatbelt on because that's the rules. So I don't think you can break rules just depending on if you know what the punishment is. And to have, you know, four guys in the car, it's breaking the rules. So unfortunately, and I know it's maybe a bit of bitterness, I'm not going to deny it, but at the same time, they've broke the rules, and I just find it bemusing sometimes that it's now people on saying, "Hey, well, you know, that's okay." It's not okay. They've broke the rules, and I think the punishment was fair, and they just need to deal with it.
All right, Stephen in Postle Park, thank you very much. 01419511025. Like I said earlier, Mark, it would be nice at some point to get a real level of detail, even from the management, whether it be Jim Goodwin, Alex Dyer, just to, not necessarily the car sharing, right? Because that's the bit everyone's focusing on, because I think everybody knows that's a bit of a, it's a bit of a no-brainer. You can't do it. There's no mitigating circumstances there, I don't think. When it comes to this other stuff, it's quite vague. You know, failing to provide suitable facilities to enable players to observe physical distancing at training. I wonder how hard that is for clubs. I wonder, you know, Celtic have got Lennox Town, Rangers have Auchin Howe, Aberdeen have got their new place. I mean, I know where Motherwell train next to where I'm from, and I know some of the clubs don't have big facilities. I'm sure you're meant to find a way, but I just wonder if there are challenges there that teams have been struggling with.
I think of course there is. You know, you mentioned some of the bigger sides there who have big buildings, big areas that they can transform extra changing rooms and split their squads up. My argument would be, you know, you look further down the league, you know, all the other clubs who don't have that facility
and have managed something. Is that what you're saying?
It's very difficult to put the practice into play. You know, social distancing in a dressing room or physio rooms. Or I mean, I know personal experience, Lennox Town. When I was there, Lennox Town had two physio rooms opposite ends of the building. You know, they had something like five or six different changing rooms and then a first team changing room. Easy. Money. The Rangers training ground's the same. Go further down, teams are struggling to provide that sort of protection for their players. So it's not surprising when you see these things cropping up now.
Right, half time in Milan. What have you made of it, Gordon DL?
There's a lot of positives for me for Celtic. I know that people can look and say, oh, there they go again. They were 2-0 up and they've been pegged back to 2-2. If you'd have said to Neil Lennon, probably Sunday night, sitting in his office listening to the fans outside, half time of Thursday night, you're going to score two goals in Milan, who are in fire, let's be honest, what a start of the season that they've had. And you're going to walk in at half time, your team talk is you'll be 2-2. You've got to take positive for that, Gordon. Yes, of course, there's the usual negative stuff there about the goals that they've lost. For instance, the first goal goes back to individual decision-making. You know, Christie lunges into a tackle, gives away the free kick. Milan score a free kick. They get back in the game, gives them a lift. I think Celtic have got a lot to be positive about. Don't get me wrong, I think it's going to be a long second 45 minutes. They need to be very, very careful here. Don't lose a goal early. But I do think there's a lot there to be, you know, for Neil Lennon to be happy about. But, and also on the other side, thinking to himself, we've just blown a two-goal lead here. I don't think MD would imagine that Celtic would have scored tonight. And plus, if I know Mark was saying there, and you guys are watching on the TV like myself, and you go, oh, AC Milan could have scored there. I could have been 3-2 AC Milan. We're forgetting McGregor's missed an absolute brilliant chance up the other end to score for Celtic. So they've created chances. My thing, middle to front, they've been brilliant. I really do. I think their energy, movement, everything about it caused problems. Once again, back door.
Very quickly, Mark, Gordon's given us the positive side of things. Great pass, Ryan Christie. Great finish, Odson Edward. Great finish, Tom Rogic. Good pressing to win the first one as well. On the other side, does Christie need to dive in like that and give the free kick away? Are there still question marks on Barkas, or am I being unfair?
No, I think so. I think you're on the money there. Free kick, well struck. Don't think it was an absolute world day in the top corner that you go, your goalkeeper's got no chance for. The one in the second half, he comes out and he clears and he almost sets Milan up for another counter-attack. But Daz is right, okay going forward, but very fragile at the back still.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time, 0141 951 1025. Come on here, get more questions right than Mark or Gordon. I know it sounds easy, but sometimes it's harder than that. And if you can do it, you win a signed ball and get the bragging rights as well. 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. We're building up to kick off at Ibrox. We're reacting to the SPFL's decision to come down hard on St Mirren and Kilmarnock. And there's been another goal in the San Siro. Who for, Mark Wilson?
It is AC Milan. And I don't think it's surprising. After Celtic conceded their first, they looked fragile. They got through to half time, but they've come out and they've been up against it in the second half. And once again, it typifies the way Celtic have defended this year. Frimpong, El Hamed, McGregor, all taken out the game. Even when Beaton comes over as a centre half, turns his back, and it's an easy finish into the bottom corner. So Celtic really up against it, and still only 51 minutes gone. Could get worse.
Gordon,
I feel sorry for Neil Lennon. I said he must have went in there 45 minutes positive, two goals away from home. But you know what, you can set up and you can ask your players to go out there and work hard and roll the sleeves up, but you cannot defend like that. You cannot defend like that against top class players. Mark's right there. It's not one Celtic player, it's not two, it's three. It's so easy. It's unbelievable. And then the lad's a terrific finish by Barkas. That is typical Celtic defending for me. Neil Lennon said today, I read one of the papers about trying to get fresh faces in for January. Well, me personally, I'd go and try and get some defenders because they cannot defend.
Okay, Rangers fans, you've got just under an hour until kickoff at Ibrox, looking to seal qualification with a game to spare. So give us all your thoughts. Are you feeling confident? Have you got any worries whatsoever? What about the team that's been picked tonight? Is that the one you would have gone for? Let us know. Let's do this first.
Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Don't forget, later on the full time teaser, we're giving you your usual Thursday chance to win a football survival pack, thanks to Thompson's personal injury solicitors. The beer fridge, the case of beer, the pies, the Bovril, they're all back and up for grabs a bit later on in this hour. Let's play Beat the Pundit first though. Mark is a Rangers fan from Grangemouth. How's it going, Mark?
Good evening, boys.
Mark, easy question to kick you off. Is there more chance of you winning Beat the Pundit or Rangers winning in Europe tonight?
I think there's probably more chance of Rangers winning tonight.
Doesn't fancy his chances. Gordon DL, you lost on Tuesday from home, did you not?
Gordon, there's people coming on here and going for a 0-0 draw and take me the tiebreaker just now. I'm not bad of form.
Have you had a couple of dodgy results recently? I can only remember the one.
I am all over the place, especially from home. I can't multitask, that's my problem. So if Mark gets me tonight, I'm very confident that we'll be signing that ball.
How well is she doing when the questions are coming up?
I really wish
you hadn't
asked
that. I'm trying to analyse this game, Mark.
All right.
What you should have been done, you might still be in a manager's job, mate.
I'm so glad that's what he said he was doing. He had me worried there when he said he couldn't multitask. Wow, it's a family show. Right, Mark, I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're up against Gordon the multitasker, DL, say no more. If it's tails, you're up against Mark Wilson. Oh no, it's the other way around, usually.
Just what, mixed my heads?
Up. Mark Wilson's heads.
I'm
right,
usually
okay.
Heads, aye.
It is heads. It's you anyway.
Yes.
You've got a couple more minutes to multitask on your own, Gordon. That all right?
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Right, we'll get back to you in a minute. Don't forget. No, never mind. I was going to say something else, and I thought I can't go that far. Right, Mark. I'm going to put 30 seconds on.
Where I need music.
I'm about to.
Oh, sorry. I'm just being fair. Because that's the other mark as well. I thought you were just going
to
fire in.
Right, I'll give you Clyde 2 to listen to. Right, he's giving me the thumbs up. Mark in Grangemouth, 30 seconds on the clock, head to head with Mark Wilson, and you can pass. That is all you need to know. You ready?
Okay.
Right, let's get stuck in. Your 30 seconds starts now. After tonight, who are Celtic's next Europa League opponents?
Oh, pass.
Who's the manager of Inverness?
Oh, pass.
Kyle Bartley joined Rangers on loan from which team?
Who?
Kyle Bartley. Back a bit.
Arsenal.
Where did Celtic sign Barkas from?
AEK Athens.
At which side did Jim Goodwin end his playing career?
St Mirren.
Name any of Rangers' goal scorers the last time they played Standard Liège.
Ruth.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back. Mark, can you hear us?
Yes.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. After tonight, who are Celtic's next Europa League opponents?
Oh my god. Oh, pass. Oh no. Oh, no.
Who's the manager of Inverness?
John Robertson.
Kyle Bartley joined Rangers on loan from which team?
Arsenal.
Where did Celtic sign Barkas from?
AK Athens.
At which team did Jim Goodwin finish his playing career?
Awa.
Name any of the Rangers goal scorers the last time they played Standard Liège.
Ruth.
Which side beat Ferencvaros in the Champions League last night? Quickly.
Real Madrid. No.
Right, okay.
Oh, dude,
you were delighted listening to him make a mess of that, weren't you?
Oh, I could. Honestly, I could just picture that face going redder and redder and redder.
I still can't think.
Because I could hear him making loads of noise in the background. I wasn't sure if that was him multitasking or if that was him reacting to your beat the pundit. Mark in Grangemouth, how do you think that went?
I think it's close.
Yeah, you did not bad. You certainly had him worried early on. After tonight, who are Celtic's next Europa League opponents? It's Lille.
Oh man, none of you
should have got that.
None of you got it right. Who's the manager of Inverness? It's John Robertson. Mark Wilson goes 1-0 in front. Kyle Bartley joined Rangers on loan from which team? Mark in Grangemouth pulled out the bag with Kyle Bartley. I hoped you would get this wrong. I thought you would struggle with this one, but it was Arsenal.
Oh yes.
Well done. So you're still one in front. AEK Athens though, both knew that. Well done. Still one in front. Which team did Jim Goodwin end his playing career? St Mirren. It was the obvious one, Mark, but I'm afraid Mark Wilson knew that it was Alloa.
It's a wrong one, Mark.
4-2. And then it didn't really matter, Tavernier or Roof, on the last question. You both got it, which means it's 5 to Mark and 3 to the other Mark on the line.
Well done, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Ferencvaros lost to Barcelona last night.
I knew it was one of the big Spanish
Did
ones
you?
Yeah, good game. Good game.
Well done, Mark. Hard lines.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Good, man. Hopefully speak to you again sometime. That was Mark in Grangemouth.
Well,
he Mark finished, Gordon. He ready to nice join us?
Yeah, all taken care of, yeah. Carry on, boys. I'm enjoying the show.
01419511025. Right, Rangers fans, how are you feeling about tonight? Are you feeling confident? Are you going to get the job done? Any worries or concerns at all about tonight? Describe them to us. And what about the team Steven Gerrard's picked? Are you happy enough with it? Or would you have done something slightly different? Now's the time. We're going to preview that game. We've not really had the chance to turn our attentions to it. 01419511025. How are you feeling ahead of that one, Gordon? Confident that Rangers do the job tonight and progress?
Yeah, because of a few things, Gordon. Obviously, they're bang on form. They're scoring goals. They don't concede goals, unlike Celtic. And they're just playing with such a confidence. And I imagine tonight they'll go out there and put in a performance. And the good thing that Steven Gerrard's got just now is it's not just it's a squad that he's got. Everybody, competition for places, and players are coming in and taking up the challenge of trying to keep the jersey. Everything's just working in the favour of Rangers just now. I know that football changes very, very quickly. Of course we do. But just now, you can't see that at all. And the great thing about Rangers, especially if you're middle to front, you know the guys at the back are probably going to keep you a clean sheet, be very difficult to score against, gives you opportunity to go and play, relax, get your goals. And obviously, it's a big night for the Rangers goalkeeper, Alan McGregor.
Absolutely. A chance for, well, he will. He is going to surpass Barry Ferguson's European appearance record for the club. So a special night for him. I'm sure he would rather have a clean sheet than worry about the appearance record, Mark. But nevertheless, it's a great milestone to get to. Will he be on the winning side tonight?
I think so. I agree with Daz. I mean, we're coming on saying the same things about Rangers, but that's music to the Rangers fans' ears because it's all positive. You cannot find any chinks in their armour at the minute. Teams coming up against them and teams analysing them must think, how do we get on them? Because different opposition domestically and in Europe have tried certain things, different things, man marking, you know, putting in this low block that they call it, pressing them high. It doesn't work. Rangers always find a way around it. And every player is playing to the top of their form. You couldn't say any player has really failed below par. So if you've got a system that works and if you've got a squad of players who are all playing to their peak, and I think that's what's happening with Rangers just now, you're on for a successful season. And whether it's domestically or in Europe, they get the job done more often than not. So yeah, I think it'll be a comfortable night for Rangers tonight.
Andrew McLean, are you still there to remind us of that starting 11 for Rangers?
I am, yes. It is Alan McGregor starting in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, Leon Balogun and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Stephen Davis, Scott Arfield and Glenn Kamara. Then it's Kamar Roof on one side, Ryan Kent on the other and Alfredo Morelos starting up front.
Said it at the weekend, Gordon, and I meant it in a nice way. Rangers team selections are boring because there's no debate. It doesn't matter who comes in and who doesn't, and that's meant to be a compliment, believe it or not. You know, on this show, on big game nights, we usually have a great debate or arguments about, oh, he should have played, no, he should have played, and why has this one been left out and that one's been included? But Rangers have got a kind of a consistency, a continuity that it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, and the thing is, Gordon, and fans will always come on and have a gripe about this. See, if you're a manager and you're having good results and you make four or five changes and things go pear-shaped and then they'll come back on, oh, why did they change the team? It doesn't matter what Rangers do. It doesn't matter personnel. It doesn't matter what the fact that the front line are. They keep the nucleus there of the Taverniers, the Barisic, the Golsons, you know, the guys like that. But you look at that front three tonight and you look the three behind that can go and create for them. They'll certainly, you'd be very confident as a manager, especially at home at Ibrox, they'll score goals. And then you look behind, which is the most important thing, you're very confident they're going to keep a clean sheet. And they usually do that because they're very difficult to score against Rangers with the amount of goals that they've lost. So far just now, everything's rose in the garden. And then obviously if you're a sub in that team, you're thinking to yourself, see if I go on this part tonight. I've got to produce, I've got to keep myself in the thoughts of the manager.
Frimpong's gone close for Celtic. It's still Milan 3, Celtic 2. Pretty similar story for Celtic. They've looked pretty good going forward. Seriously ropey at the back, and that's what's led to this high scoring match so far. But that a sign perhaps that this one is not over yet. Let's hear from Steven Gerrard on tonight's game.
Yeah, I think it's a non-negotiable in terms of standards. I think we've set the standards pretty high here, you know, at Rangers. I think the standards belong to the club. I think we all have a responsibility to try and maintain them on a daily basis. The message in terms of football is focus on the next match and the next challenge. Don't look too far ahead. Remain humble and respectful to each challenge that's coming our way. The next challenge is Standard Liège, very good team, dangerous team, but it's a fantastic opportunity for us to again go and try and qualify for the second year on the spin. That's the challenge and the only one that we should be focused on.
Andy's a Rangers fan in Finiston. Are you in confident mood tonight, Andy?
Aye, I'm pretty quietly confident. Aye. I mean, because it, you know, things are all rosy. I books you know the way we're playing, the team, the squad. I mean, and I'm really impressed. Last couple of games, the roof. Every game he plays now, he's getting fitter and he's getting better. He looks in top form now. You know what I mean? But I missed the team. Is Arfield playing or Aribo? I missed the team actually.
Arfield.
Is Aribo playing? Was no. Arfield playing? Aye.
I think I've got that right, haven't I?
Yeah, Arfield's playing, Aribo's not, yeah.
Playing, Aribo, he might be come on, because he's an R class, he's looking class act as well, up to get injured there and all. I'm really confident, right, we can do it. And I'm just listening, there's a couple of people saying that they're going to probably have a wee go at us tonight, so that will suit us. You know what I mean? Any team that has a go at Rangers and Ibrox is going to concede goals.
Yeah, I'm interested in a name that you mentioned, Andy. For so long on these European nights, every single time they came around, it was how big a performance do Rangers need from Alfredo Morelos? And he's broken the goal scoring record, and Europe tends to be where he does a lot of his good stuff. I wonder if Kamal Roof is slowly but surely becoming Rangers' main man in an attacking sense.
I think so in a way, because can I ask him Morelos to play a wee bit, you know, no different, you know, off the ball a wee bit. I mean, he's committing himself to the game now, you know. I mean, he's working hard, he's doing a lot of good layoffs. No, Roof could be the man, but I think Morelos will score tonight. I really do. I think he'll score tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he may well do, Gordon. But of course, the last time the Liège game, you don't need me to remind you just how good that Kamal Roof goal was. And since then, you get the feeling that he's becoming a real favourite amongst the Rangers fans.
Well, tell me who's not a favourite just now, Gordon. Even the subs are a favourite. Every one of them are playing their part. Roof is a very, very good player, and he'll always be remembered about that goal. That goal was sensational, you've got to say. But I've always said for day one, and even the talking points when everybody was saying about Morelos, take the money, I thought Morelos was always going to be a big part of Rangers. Now, the one thing the lad's not doing, the way he achieved when he turned up at first, he would only score goals and then he'd go in the half and he'd let Rangers down. I think as a team player, he's been absolutely brilliant. I really do. And I think guys like Roof and Ken and Arfield and everything will love playing with this guy. Now, he's not banging in the 29-30 goals just now that he normally does, what he done 2 seasons ago, but he's certainly a massive player. I still think Morelos is a number one, and it's not bad when you've got guys like Roof, you've got Ken and people like that. You know, Hadji's a terrific footballer. The squad there, Aribo's not even in tonight. You can go on, the bench is full of international players. Rangers are just on a high just now, and they've got to keep that going. And so far, I like the way Rangers manager's come out. He always uses the word humble now. I think he's learned as a manager. Remember, this is his first job. It's a massive job. It's a job that he's under severe pressure to stop Celtic getting 10 in a row. And I've been very impressed with him as well.
Andy, is the incentive pretty simple? Qualify tonight and then you can go into the next match day without any real pressure, maybe even give some youngsters or some fringe players a shot at European action. Is that the way you see it?
Aye, I would say so. Aye, because we're going to be in every cup final, we're going to be, you know, won the league, but aye, I would say so. Aye, I would just give the players a wee rest, you know what I mean. I'm not saying we go there, no, we're not going to win or nothing the next game, but no, it'd be good to give some of the players a rest, you know what I mean? We're definitely going to be a busy season this season, right up to whenever we get to the cup finals or we win the league. No, I'd be quite happy with that. Just go out there and win and give the boys a rest.
Yeah, Chris is on Twitter. He says it's important we don't think about a draw tonight. There's a scenario where it wouldn't be enough. Poznan winning both of their last two and winning better than 1-0 against us, with Benfica beating Standard. If you're keeping up with that, let's just win and make it easy for us all. And I think that about sums it up, Mark.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wouldn't say Rangers have nothing to worry about, because European fixtures always carry their own dangers. But like, you cannot see Rangers dropping points tonight, and even if they do, you'd still have to fancy them going away from home and getting a result in the next round of games. So nah, I can't see any trouble for Rangers.
Celtic still trailing, they've made a change, Mark. Is it Chan for Rogic?
It's quite interesting, because you were chatting about fringe players there for Rangers. Neil Lennon makes a point that
this is a great run from Christopher Ayer. He's into the box, he's keeping it alive, he squares it across, and somehow no one there to take advantage. Brilliant run from the defender.
It was, but Neil Lennon mentioned before the game may give some fringe players a run out, and guys who need some minutes in their legs.
He went for the same
team, the strongest team, and even his first substitution, Rogic off and Cham on. They guys have played plenty of football. Strange one.
Okay, I like this part of a Thursday night now.
Full time teaser with Thompson's personal injury solicitors. More than £1 million paid in compensation every week.
Right, we do the full-time teaser every night, but every Thursday, we're giving you the chance to win a football survival pack for watching the games at home. And nothing beats being in the stadium, but we're trying to do our bit with the help of Thompson's personal injury solicitors. You're going to have the chance to win the following: a brand new beer fridge, a case of beer to go in it, pies, courtesy of Pie Sports Scotland, and Bovril as well. All you need to do is correctly answer tonight's full-time teaser. Send us one tweet with all the correct answers before 7:45. You need to be over 18. Full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. Thanks again to our friends at Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. I'll give you the question next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic so close to equalising in the San Siro. It was a free kick left footed from Ryan Christie up over the wall, destined for the top corner. And that's the reason Donnarumma's very highly rated in the AC Milan goal. Full stretch, got across, palmed it away, and it remains Milan 3, Celtic 2.
Yeah, good effort there. Good play from Frimpong to win the free kick. And I think he's done all right in attacking areas tonight, young Frimpong and Christie. Great effort going in the top corner, but top save from the AC Milan goalkeeper.
Frimpong playing in a slightly more advanced role this evening, so I wonder if that's something Neil Lennon will stick with as time goes on. Right, I've enjoyed this part of a Thursday night recently. Let's do it again.
Full time teaser with Thompson's personal injury solicitors. More than a million paid in compensation every week.
Okay, here's your question on tonight's full time teaser. Remember, you have to send us one tweet with all correct answers before 7:45. That puts you in the draw for the football survival pack. You need to be over 18. T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. So listen carefully for your question. Mark and Gordon have got till the end of the show to come up with it, but you need to be in quicker. You need to be in by 7:45. So you've got 20 minutes. And the question is this: the last time that an FA Cup final was contested without one of the so-called Big Six teams, so your Man United, City's, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs, etc., was 2008, and it was Cardiff against Portsmouth. Can you name the six players who played in that FA Cup final who've also played for Celtic or Rangers? So the last time the English FA Cup final was contested without one of the Big Six clubs was 2008. It was Cardiff against Portsmouth. Can you name the six players who played in that final who've also played for Celtic or Rangers? Thank you to Eric Duff for sending it in. Any that spring to mind, Mark Wilson?
Stephen Thompson.
Stephen Thompson is correct. Any? I'll take one from you, Gordon DL.
Portsmouth.
Say that again, sorry.
What year did you say? 2001?
What year is it you're talking about just now? 2020.
It doesn't really matter. 2008 was Cardiff against Portsmouth.
Defoe, but it's not, is it?
Defoe, no, you're right.
Right, okay.
Okay, we'll leave it there. I'll go one more guess from you then, since that was hopeless.
It was Cardiff and... I have no idea.
Portsmouth!
Portsmouth, yeah, I'm trying to think.
He's already got one of them. He's got Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, come on, Daz, come on.
I'll give us a minute here, Mark.
He's multitasking again. Twice in one night.
I'll be back to you in five, boys.
Twice in one night at his age, unbelievable. Right, I'll leave that with you. You guys at home, if you're playing for the football survival kit, you've got until 7:45. So get your tweet in. One tweet, all six names on it. Send it to @ClydeSSB. And if you get them all right, you're in the draw. These two have got a little bit longer, so they've got Stephen Thompson so far. We'll give you that for free. You're looking for another five players who played in the Cardiff Portsmouth final in 2008 who've also played for Celtic or Rangers. Right, Mark, can we just sum up what's going on in the San Siro?
Look, I don't think Celtic have been, you know, tragically bad or anything like that, anything like they were against Ross County on Sunday. You know, started very well. They look very good going forward. I think they're picking up nice positions, you know, moving the ball well, and got two very good goals. Problem is, again, the same old story. Fragility at the back. They've went 3-2 behind, and it could have been a long second half, but they've actually played their way into the second half and looked pretty comfortable and forced a couple of saves, a couple of opportunities. Neil Lennon will be happy how they steadied the ship, but again, he'll be scratching his head and thinking, when's this going to stop, as conceding such, you know, soft goals?
Yeah, Gordon, I'll be keen to hear from Celtic fans, either right now or maybe after the game if we've got time, certainly tomorrow, about how they're feeling tonight, because there's been some good stuff, there have been some good signs, But my word, if you were worried about the defending before tonight, you'll still be worried about the defending.
Oh, yeah. To go away from home and score two goals, I think Celtic have played particularly well tonight, Gordon, especially after Sunday, especially after getting into this game with the pressure they were under. And against a Milan team, they're on fire. This team's on fire. You've got to understand that. You're away from home. Yeah, but defending, individual errors, make mistakes, not defending right. The third goal is the cheapest goal I've ever seen. It really is. The lad just goes by three Celtic players like they weren't even there. That's not acceptable. So as much as Neil Lennon, I think, will be... Now, we've still another, 10, 12 minutes or whatever it may be to finish here. If he gets out here 3-2, I said at the beginning of the show, you've got to have something to come home with, a positive. I think middle to front is a big positive. At the back is a big negative. And Cranshaw, the lad that played with Rangers, played with Portsmouth, didn't he?
He was desperate to get that in.
Honestly, he thinks we're daft. He was giving it the, who was it, Portsmouth, Cardiff, what year was that? So he's sitting with the iPad out, Googling it, exactly. And now he's eventually got Cranshaw.
Seeing the point, though, Daz, about he coming back, you know, with something positive. You know, Celtic cannot keep conceding 2+ goals every single game they play. So, I mean, there's other Celtic teams that have played against unbelievable sides but managed to keep clean sheets. Celtic can't keep conceding Mark, 3 goals, no matter how many to score going forward.
Mark, look, I'm not defending less, as I say. I think you've got to take a he's a manager that's been given a backing by the board, right? You've got to try and look at something to say, right, we're away at Milan. I think a lot of people thought the Celtic would go there and probably get a doing 4-5-0, right? Now, they've scored two. They could have scored more. They had a couple of good chances. Their defending is woeful, and I totally agree. You're giving middle to front a lot to do to win games. But at least there was... Neil Lennon said, I want a bit of pride back. I think he's got a little bit of pride back tonight. He wanted energy. I think he got a bit of energy. He was talking small steps before the game. I think he's starting to get small steps. But you're right, Mark. They can't keep doing the same mistakes, game in, game out, and getting punished and leaving Celtic having to score 3 and 4 goals every game to win games. They're back four, and I've got to say again, and I'm probably very critical, I just don't know where a goalkeeper, what he's all about.
Yeah, I mean, the record recently, Mark, I think that's them up to 26 goals conceded in 11 games.
That's horrendous. Horrendous. And that's horrendous for any team. But never mind Celtic, who are looking to compete in this Europa League when the campaign started, looking to win 10 in a row, looking to win a Scottish Cup final in a couple of weeks' time, out of the League Cup now, and that's why, because they're conceding to sides like Ross County, with the greatest respect. And Ross County, you know, on Sunday, don't even have to carve open chances. It's so easy, even the third Milan goal, so easy. Nothing spectacular from anybody, and that is a problem for Celtic. It is too easy to waltz through them time and again, and it just finishes games.
Ismaila Sorrow has come on though, Gordon, for Scott Brown. We spoke about tonight maybe a chance to see some fringe players. Add to that the general discussion about Scott Brown and his suitability to be playing regularly for Celtic at the moment. Not a great deal of time for Ismaila Sorrow, but it's more than we've seen him recently.
Yeah, we forgot all about him, Gordon.
As AC Milan score again, Milan 4, Celtic 2. And again, it's about the similar theme. Celtic so slack, so easy to breach at the back. Mark Wilson, it's a lovely finish from Brahim, you have to say. Dinks the goalkeeper.
But I know Celtic here are playing against quality players, but it's the same as the third goal. The boy comes off the left-hand side, few step-overs, waltzes inside. I think it's El Hamid who dangles a leg, not strong enough, not committed enough, and he breaks through, gets a wee break of the ball, and, you know, it's a very neat finish from the man forward, but, again, just weak, you know, just bumbles through. No real hardness about the tackle for El Hamid. It's just soft. Again, there's no other way you can explain it. Neil Lennon uses the word soft all the time, and we're continually using it because that's the nature of the goals Celtic are conceding.
Gordon?
Yeah, I can't disagree. I'm watching the replays like most people sitting listening to us on the radio and watching the TV, Gordon. And you just think, she's a coach, she's a manager. I'll leave Mark out of this. How do you stop that? How do you prevent that from happening? You know, you're asking people to just go and do a simple job. See if you look at when the lad gets to the byline to go and just flick over it. There's four Celtic players taken right out of the game. I find it very hard. As I keep saying, I think middle to front tonight have been so positive for Celtic, but at the back they've been an absolute shambles once again. And I don't know how Neil's changed formations. He's went three. He's went a back four. He's tried everything. But when you get guys that can't stand up and take responsibility of simple defending, then you are in trouble.
Rangers fans, there's still time for you to get your thoughts in ahead of kick-off tonight. Let us know how you're feeling. Are you confident? Are you happy with the team? 01419511025. SFM is on Twitter. How is losing three goals small steps? Wait, make that four. Barkas and Bain doesn't even add up to Gordon. Never mind Forster. Celtic are in behind here. Laxalt doesn't look sure of himself though. Kind of lets AC Milan get bodies back. Cham hits it and it's deflected away. The goalkeeper again, Mark. I'm quite interested in the way that he's been scrutinised, because he doesn't seem to make howlers. I don't think he's making absolute blatant terrible letting the ball slip through his legs errors, but he just doesn't seem to make saves either, which is quite a problem.
That is a big problem, Gordon. And I know it's quite funny, but he doesn't seem to save anything. Seems to dive a lot of the time, but sometimes it gets flicked over him. I've seen shots go under his arm. Seems a bit unconventional at times. And, you know, we've seen how important the goalkeeping position is to Celtic in these European situations. Going back throughout the years, even back to my time, with Boric making wonderful saves, Foster carrying on that mantle, Craig Gordon, Foster last season. Well, they've not got that just now. They've just got a guy in there who seems to dive, but without any arms.
Right, okay, well, he's got arms.
He's got arms, but he doesn't seem to use them.
Okay. Patrick Lamala is going to come on for Celtic. Thomas is in Dalmarnock. Thomas, how are you feeling? Rangers fan, confident for tonight?
Just the same as the most of Rangers fans. Yes, not getting carried away. Mm-hmm. But looking forward to it. Looking forward to every game, actually, Rangers playing it. Last time I was like that was probably Advocate. Smith and the Advocates team. We're actually getting that kind of a wide now. We're actually playing like that, you know, the way that his team was playing.
Is that how far back you'd go, Thomas? Because, you know, it's an interesting one. Is it as long as that since you've had this feeling?
Smith's team, but we're always hard to... Walter's teams are always hard to beat, you know, when we go to results. We always, even without playing well, but the Advocates team's played great football and won games. And this is what his team's doing as well. We're actually playing really good football against really good teams, even in Europe, even last year, Feyenoord and Porto, Braga. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sorry, Thomas, I was actually going to say it's a good point. I was going to put it to the guys, Mark, the football Rangers are playing maybe getting overlooked a little bit. I'm thinking some of the goals in Europe that have gone right from, you know, playing out from the back and worked all the way up and ending in a goal at the other end.
Yeah, no, outstanding. I mean, I certainly haven't overlooked them, because you have got to admire the way Rangers are playing. You know, Thomas, right? Walter Smith's team's hard to break down. Not often the prettiest to watch, especially in Europe. Got the job done. This Rangers team are a different side. They play attractive football, and they quite often get the end result at the end of a move. So Rangers fans must be loving it. He's right. Going back the years, who would you? Yeah, compare it to probably Dick Advocaat with the flair players and excitement.
As he said, Smith and McLeish had successful Rangers teams, but he's talking about the swagger.
The excitement, I mean, you can only feel sorry for the fans who would obviously love to be in the stadium watching it, because it's what fans pay to see. You know, football played the right way and getting results at the end of the day. It's all right playing that way. Well, it's not alright playing that way and you don't get results, but Rangers have paired the two of them together, so you've got to feel sorry for the fans not getting in to see it. But a lot to admire from the way Steven Gerrard has set up his team and worked on it. You can see he's worked on it. It's not just flash in the pan stuff and off the cuff stuff. This is worked on and well drilled, and you know, guys like Thomas are loving what they're seeing at the minute.
And a European record tonight for Alan McGregor, Thomas. What about his contribution?
He's been great as well. So he has, you know, everyone. I think it's that. I think that's what's happening. The players are, it's rubbing off on each other, and players are all becoming better because they're playing better, and the squad, the squad's better as well. But just, I've always said this. I know. If Rangers win, obviously win the league today, Stoke Celtic. But I never looked at it that way. See, as a Rangers fan, I genuinely don't. I've always seen that Rangers are going for 55. Rangers are going to win the league. That's all I look at. And that's what's the matter. A lot of people get caught up in the hysteria. And it starts to become, it's like an unhealthy obsession. And I noticed that even the time when Rangers are going for 9-0, in 10-0. And I also remember when they did lose it, we didn't get it. Took it in the chin. And then the following week, we could beat with Hearts and applauded Hearts after the cup final. I was there. So you need to just... And Hugh, I was trying to go on all week to say to Hugh's a great man for years now. When Rangers fans were getting a wee bit upset with the way our team was getting run, he's saying, calm down, it's only a game of football. He needs to say that to a lot of the Celtic fans. I mean, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. You need to take it in the chin one way or the other. And as I said, it's for me anyway, it's gone for 55 or Rangers to win the league because, I mean, we've been absolute... terrible for the last, you know, like 9 years, absolute torture. So it has. And now, as I say, we're starting to enjoy it now. We want to enjoy it. We don't want to get caught up in all the, you know, the nonsense and all that that's actually happening. We want to enjoy it, you know, if we do win it.
Right? Absolutely. It's a very level headed way to end it, Thomas. I like it. It's only a game of football. It'll never catch on in this part of the world, but I like it anyway. Right. This is your 3.5 minute warning on this teaser. You need to have all the correct answers in by 7:45 to be in with a chance of winning the football survival pack. We're looking for the 6 players who've played for Celtic and Rangers, who played in the 2008 Cardiff v Portsmouth FA Cup final. That's essentially the question. The guys in the studio have got Stephen Thompson, they've got Nico Cranchar,
Joe Ledley.
Yes. Gordon, any from you?
Pedro Mendes played with Portsmouth.
Well done. That's 4 of 6. You lot at home, you'll have to get the other 2 yourself. And the lines for that close, or the tweets close in 3 minutes' time. So get thinking.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Full time in the San Siro, and despite some good attacking play, Celtic again conceding 4 goals in Europe and lose the match by 4-2. Mark Wilson clearly better, but clearly still not good enough. That would be the conclusion, surely.
Yeah, you can't continue to lose goals at an alarming rate like this. There might be people that say this is an improvement. Okay, going forward, some bits were nice to watch, 2 good goals. But losing 4 again, when you look through this Europa League campaign paired with the goals Celtic are losing domestically as well, it is beyond alarming. And Neil Lennon he did the impossible, in my opinion, by keeping his job past Sunday. If he wants to remain in place, which it looks like he is going to, then he needs to do something about this quick. I don't know what it is, but he needs to cut out this softness, because they will go further and further back and the title race will be over before they know it.
I mean, Gordon, it has to be an improvement on Sunday, because that was the low point when you can't even trouble a Ross County team. They troubled AC Milan quite a good few times tonight. The problem is they were more than troubled at the other end.
Yeah, that's the problem. I thought there was a lot of positives there, but the big problem, and Mark's just highlighted it, is at the back. I know that there's the old cliche, Gordon, you defend from the front. We all know that, that's what's said in football. But when you get there and you've got a back four plus a goalkeeper and you paid a few quid for most of them, you expect a bit more. Now, if you get undone with a great bit of skill, and let's be honest here, AC Milan have got terrific footballers, are the top of the league in Italy, Serie A. They've started brilliantly. So you can accept that sometimes, but not cheap goals.
Yep.
And once again, 4 tonight. But I think there's a bit of positive to be taken there. I thought the energy, I thought the work rate was good. And Neil Lennon will need to build on that.
All right, let's bring in Jim, who's a Celtic fan from Hamilton. I mean, it's been quite the week, Jim. Quite the month, quite the season, you could say. How are you feeling now after watching that tonight?
It's just a bit much like, guys, sorry. It's just like the same old, same old.
we seem to be good, as the boys are saying. We're good to middle to front. But defensively, we are... there's no other word. We're shocking. When Martin O'Neill came in, we sorted the defence. We get big guys that knew what they're doing, know how to defend. Then this fancy running up the wing, and then when the other team attacks, you're nowhere. We had Ramon Vega, we had Johan Mialvi, we had Huspil Harm, we had Bobal Baldi. We get it to guys then who knew how to play, and from middle to front, they were good. Just, we're lacking so much at the back. It's just, every time they get a cross ball, every time a corner kick comes in, every time a free kick comes in, you think, oh, here we go. And I don't know, I don't want to point a finger at MD. I don't know if, I think you've always discussed it before, but John Kennedy, is he the defensive manager? Neil Lennon can't do it on his own. And I don't know where the confidence went. But these guys were playing perfect football last season. There's a pressure getting to them. I don't know, but defensively we're shocking, and it starts with the back, the goalkeeping thing. I think we were all hoodwinked with Fraser Foster. Fraser Foster thought he was staying. Maybe Mrs. Fraser Foster says he wasn't staying. I don't know whether it comes down to money or it comes down to whatever, but the defence thing. Attack starts with defence, and if you don't defend your goal, you're always going to lose games. It's simple as that.
I'm so glad that Jim said there's only one word to describe it, and he said shocking, because I think there's probably a few words to describe it, if we're being honest, Mark. But the thing is, it's so widespread, right? Because how many personnel, how many different players have played there? It's been four at the back, it's been three at the back, it was four at the back, but a slightly different four at the back tonight, if you like. Barkas has been in, Bain has been in. So, and by the way, John Kennedy's not the defensive coach, before we go down that route again, but I'm sure he takes some blame along with Neil Lennon. It is one big collective. And Jim says shocking. The one word I can't keep, I can't forget on this show at the moment, is soft. I think that is just so soft.
Well, that is a problem. I mean, take this fourth goal, for example. You'll never get a goal as soft as that, where people seem to run through challenges that the Celtic players are putting in. That can't be the case when you're a top defender. Now, let's be honest, if you're brought to Celtic, you're brought there because people think you're a top defender. If you're a top defender, first and foremost, you have to stop the guy as quickly and as directly as possible going to go.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
You need to win your man-to-man.
Yeah, that's it. You need to win your individual battle, but you need to stop the opponent getting through to the goal. Now, I get there will be little breaks and pieces of bad luck in a season, but over the last 4 or 5 weeks, it kind of keep being bad luck.
26, did I say, in 11 games?
20, horrendous. And pair that with a goalkeeper behind you. The goalkeeper tonight, again,
you're still not having him for the free kick.
For the free kick, I think he's the right side where the ball goes. He moves his feet and he's rooted to the spot. He can't get back. Even for the fourth goal there, he dives without using his arms. They're by his side. How many times have we seen Fraser Foster come out, make that big, you know, arms wide, legs wide, and he's hard to beat? It's too easy on all accounts.
Here's the problem though, Gordon, where it feeds into a bigger picture about the club and about the recruitment and Nicky Hammond and so on. And I don't want to blame this guy when he had nothing to do with tonight, but Jim's talking about these big, powerful, robust defenders of yesteryear, and Valharan and Mialbi and Baldi, and we need a bit more like that. That's what Shane Duffy was meant to be for.
Yeah, and unfortunately for Celtic, it's not happened for him. From the back's a shambles, Gordon. The recruitment, I said on Tuesday night that there's a guy walking about that's taking no responsibility whatsoever for this, Nick Hammond. He's brought in, now he's a goalkeeping coach.
Apparently. Be fair, I've heard him get a lot of criticism on this show, so I think he might not, but people are blaming him.
Let me tell you, he's going to get it from me, because I think I'm with Mark. It's okay that there's a guy come in that has never played in Scottish football before, he's a goalkeeper. I look at this guy and think, I don't even think he owns a pair of goalkeeping gloves. He's right. I think for the first goal as well, the free kick, he takes a step to his right for I don't know why. Doesn't even dive. Now, as much as I blame the defence, because the defence has got to protect you, but if you look at the other side of the city, when anybody gets by the Rangers back four, the one thing that probably 9 out of 10 you're counting on is McGregor, for instance. And he delivers.
He pulled, how many McNevis, especially in Europe, how many McNevis and saves has this guy pulled off and got Rangers results? So you depend on your goalkeeper. I'm looking at this goalkeeper. I don't think that the managers, I don't think the back four, I don't think the team, any confidence whatsoever in the boy. But he does need protection as well. I think he's, you look at Ayer, for instance, I think he's just got ahead of himself. Duffy's come in, been a disaster. The one that you're talking about, Laxall down the left-hand side, yeah, he's been nice and busy and gets on the ball. Has he been terrific? Yep. No, he's not. El Hamed. I just think that if I was Neil Lennon, middle to front, as I say, yeah, yep, you've got something to work on.
We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid. We're short on time. But Barkas has played Champions League. He's played a lot of international football as well. So I don't think we can be too harsh without taking that into account as well, in terms of being disrespectful to the guy. But let's round this off, shall we, very quickly.
Full time teaser with Thompson's personal injury solicitors. More than a million paid in compensation every week.
Okay, this was the big competition on the full time teaser tonight. You had to have your answers in by 7:45 to be in with the chance of winning the football survival kit, thanks to our friends at Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. There's a beer fridge, a case of beer to go in it, pies, courtesy of Pie Sports Scotland, and Bovril as well. All you had to do was get tonight's question right, and the question was, can you name the six players who played in the 2008 FA Cup final between Portsmouth and Cardiff, who've also played for Celtic or Rangers? The guys had four, I think. What have you got for us? Anything else, Mark Wilson?
Glenn Livens, no?
Yes,
yes,
Glenn
Biddy.
Livens,
oh,
well done.
Oh,
shout. Well done, Gordon man. DL. Any more?
Got one more?
One to get.
Rangers or Celtic, go on. Give us a clue.
Rangers. So you've got Glenn Livens, Joe Ledley, Stephen Thompson, Pedro Mendes, Nico Cranchar. So you're looking for Rangers and Cardiff. That's the connection.
Rangers, Cardiff. Come on, Daz.
Right, I'll get it, Mark. Give me to next Thursday. Rangers.
I'll give you the other team he played for up here, or one of them, and you'll get it.
Go on.
Dundee.
Gavin Ray.
Well done, Gavin Ray. Well done to you two, but more importantly, well done to CJ at Craig John D on Twitter. You are tonight's winner. Keep an eye on your DMs. We'll give you all the details of that prize. You're the winner of that football survival pack. Thanks again to Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors for setting us up with that. We'll do it again next Thursday. That was a busy show. SPFL disciplinaries, Celtic losing in Milan, Rangers about to kick off against Standard Liège. Join us at 6 o'clock tomorrow. We'll look back on it all. Callum Gallagher is up next.